You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you again this week for a preview of the Nordea Masters and the Wyndham Championship. Live from Cumbria, it's a warm welcome to Dave Tindall. Dave, good morning to you, sir.
Hello, and a quick piece of trivia. Here I am in Cumbria where I went to school, and do you know what my school was called?
Go on.
Wyndham.
Was it really?
Exact same spelling as the Wyndham Championship.
If that's not a precursor to success this week.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about the Wyndham Championship in due course. Got to start with last week, the PGA Championship at Belrive. The golf course was slated throughout the tournament, Dave. It was given a real hammering on social media. But boy, it gave us a fantastic leaderboard and a brilliant champion as well.
Yeah, so it can only be sort of hammered so much when that happens, don't you think? Because it was just like a who's who at the top. And you got Tiger there, you got Justin Thomas, Koepka, Rahm was up there. I mean, often when that happens, we say, oh, look, it's a great course because the cream has risen to the top. But I just thought it wasn't anything different to what I was expecting, was it, for you, the course? It was just sort of a course.
Yeah, he played a little bit softer than I imagined. And Jordan Spieth said in his press conference that it wasn't just down to the rain that they had on Monday, which softened the golf course. So when they arrived at the venue, it was that the greens were already soft. And that comes with hosting a major championship in St. Louis in August.
Yes, but you can't really sort of, you know, that's just the weather and the scheduling. But obviously that will change next year.
It will indeed. Brooks Koepka was superb. Another incredible performance from Koepka. Three major championships under his belt already. He's a bit of an animal, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, well, you can't win another one. But then someone told me, well, Padraig Harrington sort of won three in quickfire succession.
Yep.
And when you're hot, you're hot. So obviously Harrington, that was his time, and he's not been the same since. But I don't know how many can Koepka go on and get. I mean, sort of legends of the game that have been playing forever, like Mickelson has only got five. Yeah, Seve got five. It's like Koepka's three and climbing fast. It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. He's just been incredible. And like you mentioned, there's only a couple of players under the age of 30 with three or more majors, Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth. He's a future Golf Hall of Famer, undoubtedly. And it was the way he made clutch birdies on 15 and 16 under the pressure that Tiger Woods was putting on him as well. He's got ice running through his veins.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, just sometimes when they stroll around, you think, well, they look cool, but are they inside? But he genuinely is, isn't he? He's got that kind of inner steel that it's kind of almost like he's been sort of made from like a robot or perfectly designed, because he's got that inner steel. He hits it a mile. He came over to Europe and kind of that was clearly good for him, wasn't it? I don't think he gets maybe enough credit for that as a sort of wise thing to do, to sort of round his game. So, all his majors are on courses that people generally haven't seen before. And he turns up there and he's sort of got the game and the know-how to deal with it all. And like you say, one of his best things, I think, is his clutch putting and able to change gears just when it seems people are putting pressure on him. He just, you know, just doesn't wobble, does he?
It's weird. The saying is that you need to play as if it doesn't matter when it matters most. I don't think he cares. That maybe helps him out a little bit, Koepka. He's an incredible competitor, but he's not in love with the game of golf. He's in love with competing at a sport, isn't he, I think?
Yeah, and because he's not in love with it, he probably just doesn't get up, does he, for these regular tour events.
Yeah.
He just can't get himself in the same mindset. So it's like a sort of England cricketer, sort of a bit rubbish at county level, but then you put him in the test team and he comes alive, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just thrives, doesn't he? The bigger the better for him.
Let's get stuck into this week then, Mr. Tindall. We'll start with the Nordea Masters. Torbjørn Olesen is the 8-1 favourite here with William Hill. Alexander Bjork is 18-1. Joachim Lagergren and Martin Keimer both 20s. Hideto Tanihara, 25-1. Lucas Biergar, Marcus Kinnelt, Matthew Southgate and Soren Kjeldsen, all 25s, along with Thomas Dietrich. And it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. And there's another new venue for prospective punters to assess this week, Dave. The recent history of this event has been nomadic. Barsabak Golf and Country Club hosted last year, Brohof Slot hosting the year prior to that, and before that it was PGA Sweden National. And this new venue is Hills Golf and Sports Club, just outside Gothenburg. It's a par 71, measuring just over 7,100 yards. And
or is it?
Well...
I think it's longer than that.
Do you think it's longer?
Other stuff I've read, it's sort of nearer 7,500. I think they can move the tees around a lot.
Yeah, that's according to their
own
website, Dave. So it could still be wrong, but I've taken that from the Hills Golf and Sports Club website.
So, which one? The 7,100.
Yeah, the 7,100 one. Yeah.
Right.
So who knows?
We've seen these things be a little different before, so. Have to take them with a little bit of a pinch of salt.
Yeah, it was opened in 2005, the course. It's designed by a couple of chaps named Arthur Hills and Steve Forrest, which is perfect for a golf course designing duo, I suppose. And Johan Edfors has modified half a dozen of the holes on the course as well. What are we expecting this week, Dave?
Well, some sort of extra info for that on that I've noticed this morning on the European Tour website. Gives us a bit more detail. So it's bent grass greens, which are meant to be in very good condition. The fairways are creeping bent with a bit of power in there. Mm. And interestingly as well, it says there's very little and thin rough due to the hot and dry summer.
Yeah.
And it says the course has a sort of burnt out look as well. So you remember what we saw at Carnoustie. So I guess Sweden, maybe we... don't always think of Sweden as getting loads of heat. We think maybe more somewhere to go to ski, maybe. But a lot of hot weather in Sweden there. So I think, especially that line about the rough being down, I think that maybe just is a decent clue that I wasn't that sure of before.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a golf course that these players can rip apart. That's we are speculating, aren't we, about the playability of the... of this venue, but I expect it to be low scoring. I think you'll be able to get away with it off the tee as well around here, and hopefully it's a good event, and it might have an American look to it, this golf course as well, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, it did host a Challenge Tour event 10 years ago, and only a handful finished under par that week, but if you read sort of up on the detail, it was 35 mile an hour winds on day one. I think the forecast this week, there's nothing like that in terms of it blowing. So I'm with you. I think we're looking at a 20 under kind of thing.
I've not got an official selection, but there's a couple that are definitely interesting that I want to talk through in due course. But you have got a pick in this event.
Yeah, just a few things that come together make me go for Nicholas Coulthard at 50s.
Okay.
Basically, he doesn't seem to mind wherever it's played this event. He's got top tens the last 3 years. So he was tied eighth at Barsabak last year, third at Brohof Slot 2016, T7 at PGA Sweden National. So just loves the event, basically, and doesn't really mind where it's taking place. The fact that the rough's down, that's got to suit someone who hits it long rather than straight. So I like that from Coulthard. And he's someone who doesn't sort of churn out top 25s every week, but he just throws in decent enough finishes every so often. So, you know, we saw him in that Belgian knockout, had a good week there, got a top 10 in the Shot Clock Masters as well. So Belgian knockout, seventh, third in the Shot Clock Masters, that was in June. Decent enough in the Irish Open, tied 19th. So, he seems to miscuts with decent performances. I just think here in Sweden, I'm going to take a little bit of a chance on him at 50. It's just half a point each way, though.
Yeah, I can see that. 50-1, Nicholas Kolsarts. And the home team have a decent pedigree in this event. The Swedes, that is. Four winners in the last decade. Two of those were Alex Norén victories, though, Dave. And there's nobody of his calibre in the field this week. Or not on yeah. current form, anyway.
Do we know why he's not playing and Stenson? Is it just sort of scheduling thing? Seems
yeah.
a bit of a shame.
Yeah, I think Stenson's obviously focused on the PGA Tour at the moment, isn't he? He's in the Wyndham Championship this week, and I'm not sure why Norén's not playing. It must be a scheduling thing, I think, with the Ryder Cup coming up, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe.
Get rested there.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's a shame.
And of course, the market leader has had a bit of a disastrous preparation because British Airways keep losing his golf clubs, Thorbjørn Olesen.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've read all that on Twitter, yeah. So it'd be interesting to see which clubs he picks up this week if he don't make it in time.
Their set lined up and they lost them as well.
What do you think to the price on Olesen?
Well, I don't like it.
No, I don't. I think it's very skinny.
This is a
player that you've been accustomed or attuned to backing at big prices when out of form, and now you're taking a short price when in form.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying by that?
Even losing all his clubs, I wasn't that keen on him because he's coming back from the States as well. It's a course where we don't really know what's going to happen. So, and he's kind of done enough, hasn't he, for the Ryder Cup. So, yeah, I thought it was just too short.
Yeah, I did as well. The one I quite like the defending champion. Renato Paratore at 50-1. I'm just not quite sure why he's double the price of the likes of Marcus Kinhult and Thomas Dietrich, and he is 50-1 here with William Hill. I know Kinhult's been, his price has completely collapsed with a few of the notable golf betting tipsters having latched onto the Swede who says this is his favourite event, so I can understand why his price has contracted into 25-1, but when you consider he's 25s and Paratore is 50s. I don't understand that personally.
Yeah, because Paratore is coming off a great result as well, isn't he? So it's
and he's already winner. He's already winner on tour, whereas Kinhult and Dietrich aren't winners on tour.
Yeah, I was a bit confused by that. Really, that why he should be such a is it his local course? I read, or he lives nearby.
Kinhult.
Yeah,
he lives close, doesn't he, in Gothenburg, and he does say this is his favourite event on tour, doesn't he? But
sadly, a massive surprise, is it, if he's Swedish?
And I'm not sure this venue is going to be tailor-made for Kinhult, who's a kind of a young plotter, not a bomber. I think this is just a perfect setup for him. I think putting's going to be vitally important this week when these players are going low, and he showcased that ability to hold plenty in Germany. And given what you've said about the venue being burnt out and the rough being down, he can maybe get away with it off the tee, which is his Achilles heel, really, in terms of driving the ball in the fairway.
Yeah, no, I agree. But he's not quite enough, is he, for you to get on board?
Not quite at 50s, but he was the one that was most interesting to me.
Worth looking at,
yeah. And Matthias Schwab was the other one that I thought was interesting, but he's a little short of 33-1.
Yeah, the other one I looked at a similar price, 33, Scott Vincent, just because he's playing well everywhere at the minute. Mm. It's just because it's been kind of on the Asian tour, you're thinking maybe it's gone a bit unnoticed, but it hasn't, has it, at 33. So, but don't be surprised if he's up there again because he's just flowing with confidence.
Should we move on?
Yes, let's go to the Wyndham.
Indeed, and it's Webb Simpson at the top of the betting for the Wyndham. He's 10-1. Henrik Stenson is 16s, along with Hideki Matsuyama. Rafa Cabrera-Bello is 20-1. Brant Snedeker, 25s. Daniel Berger, 25s, along with Russell Henley and Shane Lowry. 28-1 for Billy Horschel, Joaquin Niemann, Olli Schneiderjans, and Sergio Garcia. And it's 33-1 bar. Greensboro in North Carolina, the destination for this week's PGA Tour event, and it's the final chance for those outside the top 125 in the FedEx Cup race to force their way into the opening playoff event next week and indeed maintain their card for next season. And we've got continuity with Sedgefield Country Club once again hosting this championship. And there's no doubt about the yardage here, Dave. It's a Donald Ross design that plays as a par 70, measuring just over 7,100 yards. And it's a rollover for these professionals, Mr. Tindall. Henrik Stenson tied the tournament record when shooting 22 under par to win by one last year. And the year prior to that, Siwoo Kim had a 60 en route to his win. And since they switched the green surfaces from bent grass to champion Bermuda, they've run faster on the stimp meter, but that hasn't stopped scoring being ridiculously low.
Yes, you've summed it up nicely there. Some good correlating form I've noticed between there and Sawgrass as well. All the sort of winners, I think five of the last seven winners of this have won at Sawgrass. So I guess that shows, and maybe Henrik Stenson is the one to really highlight it, is you don't have to just keep smashing driver. Mm. Stenson has won both events by just taking his three wood and wheeling away. So, yeah, you can tend to... I'm not always a fan of driving accuracy, but I think here, if you can find the fairways, you don't have to bomb it. You can club down a little bit and just hold plenty of putts. It's a fairly easy sort of combination. And I think they kind of, it's nice for the players to sort of breathe out a bit if they've been playing at the PGA the week before.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Donald Ross has a very distinct way of designing golf courses, that they're kind of all inclusive, aren't they? And they don't discriminate.
Which
goes back to what you were saying about maybe driving accuracy being higher on the list than usual. Other Donald Ross designs that are used on tour, Eastlake, which hosts the Tour Championship, Aronimink, which did host the AT&T National in back-to-back years in 2010 and 2011, and Plainfield Country Club is another Donald Ross design that hosted the Barclays in 2011 and 2015. I'd also have a look at that Harbour Town and Colonial, which share similar attributes. And if you've got a player that has good form at all those tracks, worth exploring further, I'd suggest, Dave.
Yeah, I think so. They're good correlating courses and plenty of clues there. Other little lines, it's a par 70, so par 4 scoring, because there's two extra ones this week. That's something to look at.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of picks at the sort of a bit higher up the betting. How about yourself? Well, lower down the betting, I should say.
Yeah, I've got one selection and one that I really liked that we've ducked markedly at William Hill. So yes. I won't put them up for... It'd be disingenuous to put them up for as a podcast pick, but I will give that one a strong mention, and you can do with that information what you will. Yes. You've got two, though, Dave.
Yeah, I'll start with... I don't know why he's sort of one of my favourite players. Maybe just because he's... Initials are AA. I don't know why I should like that particularly. It just seems quite nice. If there was a ZZ as well, I'd like that as well. Abraham Answer.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, I sort of picked up on him quite early this year. He had a nice little run in the Southern States. I mean, he's Mexican, obviously, and he did his college. He went to college in Texas, so you'd expect him to play well in the South. And earlier this year, tied 16th at the Valspar, followed that with another good performance in the Dominican Republic. Then he was tied 8th in Houston. Then he went a little bit quiet, although he's still threw in some low scores, especially in round one. I mean, you could do him for round one as well.
Yeah.
65 for round one at the Byron Nelson. Also opened with a 65 at Memorial before fading a little bit. But in recent times, Dave, he's kind of kept his run going through to the finish, opened with another 65, this time in the Quicken Loans, but kept it going. Came in with an amazing 62, actually, in round three. So got a fourth place in the Quicken Loans. That was four starts ago. And then last time out, he was fifth in the Canadian Open. Slow start that time, but shot 66, 65, 67 over the last three rounds. Now, his driving accuracy numbers are really good, actually. He's more of a straight driver than a long driver, so I like that about him. And just the fact that we're on Bermuda greens in the South again, I just think that there's good reason to think Abraham Answer can have another good week. And 66 is okay for sort of half a point each way, I think.
Yeah, I like it. Abraham Answer is Dave's selection this week. I'm going with as my pick, Richie Werenski, who's 80-1, and I'll play him half a point each way as well. He's got to bounce back from a slightly disappointing performance when he was sent off almost favourite for the Barracuda Championship a couple of weeks ago. That was a pretty weak field. This is a pretty weak field as well, and I think he might just bounce back. He's accurate off the tee, Werenski, and he's got a couple of top five finishes in his last eight starts on tour. And added to that, Werenski finished 10th on his debut at this course last season. So I think that 80-1 is fair about Richie Werenski, who's been in good form in the main throughout the course of the year. So 80-1, I thought, was worth chancing.
Yeah, okay. I'll see your 80s and I'll go 100-1 on Hunter Mahan.
Yeah, he's coming back, isn't he?
Second pick. Yeah, I don't know what you think about the sort of bubble boys this week and whether, you know, you should give them more of a look just because they have to.
I mean, it's been mixed down the years, hasn't it, how they've performed. Some of them have popped up, but some of them, them haven't. I know there's the added incentive there, but there's added pressure as well. And it has been, I mean, if they could just turn it on week to week, why haven't they done it earlier on in the season?
Yeah, I guess what I'm thinking with Mahan is that he's probably not even had it in his mind because he's been that far back.
Yeah.
It's not like he's been hovering around the bubble all year and he's thinking, I can just get the right side of it. He's not really been in the, you know, conversation. But suddenly, the last maybe few weeks, he's nailed down some decent points. He was tied 7th at the Barbasol, missed the cut in Canada, but then tied 23rd at the Barracuda. So just when you need to be playing well to get in, he's 157th, so it's doable with a big week. So I think he's sort of one who's not got that pressure that he's carried for a while. He's just thinking, oh, I could just throw in a nice one here and I'd get in. I mean, last year, I mean, he's obviously, he was a great player, wasn't he? Played in Ryder Cups and everything, and he's fallen away. But last year, when it was still a struggle, he opened with a pair of 65s here for tied 16th. So clearly, this course, you know, it's good for his skill sets and playing well nicely. Just another little thing about the par fours, he's ninth in par four scoring this year alongside a certain Brooks Koepka. So he just seemed to have the right fit for this course. And I just think in a fairly weak field and with, I think it's more of incentive rather than a kind of monkey on his back trying to get into the top 125. It'll just be a sort of nice bonus for him rather than something that he sort of has to do. I mean, I think Sergio's outside, isn't he? I think Sergio needs a top 20 to get into the top 125 this week.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's more of a sort of thing hanging over him, whereas Mahan, I think he's got a nice sort of goal to sort of go for. So I thought 100-1 was fair enough, to be honest, on a player who's coming back into form and he has got that class.
I think Garcia might go well this week. I've just got a I've just got a sneaky. I know he's missed 7 of his last 8 cuts on the PGA Tour. I've just got, some of those have been right on the number, haven't they? Those missed cuts, and I got a sneaky feeling he'll perform this week at a venue that he absolutely loves. He's a shade on the short side at 28-1 now, Garcia, but with the Ryder Cup looming as well, he needs it, doesn't he?
And it's not like he's been playing terribly everywhere. He was tied 10th, wasn't he, at Le Golf National, so that was...
He had a chance to win on Sunday, didn't he, before he blew it early on earlier. Did he shove it in the water in the first on Sunday? I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did.
He fell away quick, didn't he? It's not like it's just been miscut after miscut and there's nothing good. There is that.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Martin Keim has had lots of poor form, but he's sort of thrown in a few good ones. So, and Sergio's got the course form here, hasn't he? So he's a winner at the top five. So I think he could be a sneaky one this week, maybe. But he's come down a bit, hasn't he, at 28?
Yeah, he's been well back.
People have realised.
Yeah, the one that I really liked this week that I can't put up for betting purposes is Chris Kirk. He's 50-1. I mean, you mentioned par four scoring as a key stat. In the last 50 rounds on tour in this field, Kirk ranks 4th in strokes gained on the par fours. He's coming off his first made cut in a few years in major championship golf, finished in the top 40 last week at Belrive. And even though his tournament form isn't brilliant, this place sets up really nicely, or should on paper, for Kirk. Iron Player's been spot on for the majority of the season, and he's got a solid bank of form at courses that correlate with this one, including a win at Colonial back in 2015. I think he's a really good bet this week, but 50s is under the market by a considerable margin, so I won't put him up. And he's a four-time tour winner as well, Chris Kirk, so I think he's interesting this week.
Yeah, for similar kind of reasons, one we've ducked as well, at 33, Siwoo Kim.
Yep.
I do really like him this week. I mean, he won this 2 years ago but couldn't defend last year because of injury. He's won at Sawgrass as well, so that sort of highlights that link as well and maybe explains why his Sawgrass win wasn't that weird, because so many players have won this, have won at Sawgrass as well. And he was tied 10th, wasn't he, at Firestone in the WGC. So I think he'll have a big week, Siwoo Kim. I mean, normally when you say to golf bettors, oh, yeah, but he can't putt, can he? But if you look at his recent putting stats, they're pretty decent.
Yeah, he's improved, hasn't he? Well, he's definitely going through a purple patch with a putter, shall we say?
Yeah, so I think he's got everything in line, really, to do well this week, but we have ducked him at 33s.
What about Daniel Berger?
Yeah, he's another one. Yeah. Again, we've gone a bit short on him.
Yeah, but he's one that I think will go very well. I think it's been well documented, hasn't it, that he was plus six on Thursday of the PGA Championship and played the rest in 14 under to finish in 12th. He's been struggling with that wrist injury as well, which I think is still a concern coming into this week.
Yeah, I mean, he's played great, hasn't he, in the last two majors. He went out in the last pairing, didn't he, in the US Open after racing through the field on that Saturday.
Yeah.
Two-time champion at St Jude, which is another par 70 in the south, Bermuda grass. So, yeah, you'd expect him to have a big week this week, Daniel Berger at 25s. The other one, well, I think Webb Simpson is very, very obvious, and sometimes, you know, you can keep it simple, but 10-1, I can't see how he's not challenging Webb Simpson, scene of his first tour win.
Yeah, and I think the quotes of 16-1 that were put out on Monday were
quickly dived upon. Yeah.
They were quickly inhaled, those 16-1 quotes. So 10-1, maybe more realistic, I think, for Webb Simpson this week.
Yeah, do you think Joachim Niemann will win soon?
I think he will win soon, yeah. I just don't know when, and it could be this looks like a good setup for him, doesn't
Seems
it?
Seems one, yeah, 28s.
So he could go well as well.
Yeah.
Been well found though, I think, as well at 28s, perhaps.
Yeah, I think so. He has been for a while, hasn't he? That seems to be stock price now, doesn't it? 25s, 28s.
I think I'd rather Berger this week at 25s than Niemann at 28s, just about.
Yeah, proven winner, yeah.
Okay, Dave, who's the player you don't want to win this week? This is a question I only ask when I remember to ask it.
This is the bit of the podcast where I think everyone should really take note, because we seem to give the winner out a fair few times, don't we?
I think mine's Sergio Garcia. I think if he was slightly bigger, I'd put him up, I think.
Yeah, Siwoo Kim I'll go for at 33s.
Okay, recap your selections then, Dave.
Yeah, so in the Nordea Masters in Sweden, I shall just go half a point each way on Niklas Kolsarts at 50-1. And then in the Wyndham Championship, I shall play half a point each way on Abraham Anser at 66s and half a point each way on Hunter Mahan at 100s.
Just the one bet for me this week. I'm going half a point each way. Richie Werenski at 80-1 for the Wyndham Championship. Dave, thank you for your company. Enjoy your mini break in Cumbria.
Yes, and hopefully the Wyndham connection is a good thing. I should have sort of backed a player who was named after my science teacher, but he was there. He was called Mr. Wood, actually, so it could have happened.
To be fair, Webb Simpson named his daughter Wyndham, didn't he? So,
right, yes.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of trivia for you if you didn't already know that. that's how much he likes this event. Yeah.
End the podcast on a high.
Thank you for your company, Dave. If you want to follow Dave on Twitter for more gems like this, at Dave Tindall Golf is Dave's Twitter handle. And you can follow me at D Kellner. Make sure you get your bets on for the Wyndham and indeed the Nordea Masters as well. Check out all the betting at sports.williamhill.com. And myself and Dave will be back next week. If you're having a bet on the golf, good luck to you. And we'll speak again very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.